This is Leon Atkinson of the Guitar Hour, and today we have Brad Richter. And Brad is in to do a concert at the Jacqueline Austin Cultural Center tomorrow night. But let's start off with your CD, Brad. What are we going to hear for you and Victor?
We're going to hear a song that Victor and I wrote together called Ironwood. And ironwood is a tree that's really common in the Sonoran Desert and in Texas, a bunch of places.
Yeah, real heavy.
Yeah, it's a cousin of a mesquite tree, super thick and grows to be, over 500 years old, beautiful tree and kind of ugly in its beauty. It's gnarly and twisted, so is the song. It's a mix of heavy metal and classical.
Okay. Thank you.
And there it is from the recording that was called Live at Club Congress, the Richter Ooser duo doing their Ironwood. So now let's get everything nicely in order. Good morning, Leon Atkinson.
Good welcome. Morning, Vern. How are you?
I'm great, and you're harried but here.
Well, not really that hurried. Yeah. It was just that it was raining so hard and the visibility, so I was being very wise in my driving skills and making sure that I got here in one piece.
So you're alive. So we'll
I'm alive
we'll
and ready to go.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's our favorite week of the
year. Yes, this is, you know, this is the sixth or seventh year that you've been in. I'm trying to remember.
I think it's actually the 11th.
I think it is, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Am I missing 4 years? Okay. This is the 11th year that you've been in. Like, my memory has served me well. I've lost 4 years there, Brad. But anyway, Brad Richter is to my left, and he is here to perform tomorrow night at the Jacqueline Arts Cultural Center with the cellist that Vern played for you earlier, the soloist, Victor Ooser. And I didn't say Uzo because of that. I oftentimes do because of the Greek.
Yeah, of course.
Greek that I like. And so, first of all, welcome, Brad. It's so wonderful, wonderful to have you back.
Thanks. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. We saw each other in March. Look, I was down in your neck of the woods doing things for your organization, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But let's talk about what you've been doing since I've seen you in March.
Well, one of the things is what we were talking about while Ironwood was playing, which is lead guitar,
what is lead guitar?
Right. So lead guitar is a not-for-profit that I co-founded about 10 years ago, and it starts free classical guitar programs in low-income schools. So we started programs in Chicago for the first time, and
nice.
That's been really exciting. And one of the things that's been exciting about it is it's our first foray into a huge urban environment, and it's our first foray in a satellite program that's that far away. You know, Chicago is a long way from Tucson, of course.
Yes, it is.
So we're learning how to manage these satellite programs effectively and kind of growing as an organization, learning how to do that. And then, but more importantly, I felt like we were at ground zero for where a program like that is most needed.
What do you mean by a program like that?
Well, a program like that in the sense that, you know, I think certainly we, you and I and Vern and probably most of the listeners recognize that music is a critical part of education, arts education in general, and that it brings all kinds of ancillary benefits with it, better math, reading, science scores, better graduation rates, college attendance. And it's also it's about having one more thing in a school that a student can say, that's what I do, that's what makes me special, this is what I'll excel in.
Right. And but you know, you and I and Vern and most of the listening audience know that, but administrators, and I'll get calls about this, but many administrators don't. Many people that are balancing the budget don't, because they'll take, and the first thing that gets slashed out of a program is the arts.
Yeah.
So how are you dealing with that? How did you manage to squeeze in to a program in an urban area in Chicago where I'm sure the budgets are strained?
Well, that part is easy because we do it for free. So we just raise all the money, write grants outside of the school network. And
I want
just
you to go there. Yeah.
Bring the program at no cost. Mm-hmm. The one thing we ask schools to do is buy their own guitars, but we connect them to Yamaha, who gives them a steep, steep discount.
Nice.
They're $90 a piece, the guitars.
Oh, my God, that's a great deal.
It's a great deal. Yeah. And then, you know, we all know, too, about what's been happening with police shootings in Chicago and social unrest. And one of the things that you very specifically see, so one of our schools is right at the foot of where the Robert Taylor homes were. Mm-hmm. And that was, and I don't know the real numbers of how many families were in those homes, but there were a good 40 high-rise buildings packed with people. And they had become high crime areas, and there were certain towers that police felt they couldn't go into. So their solution was to tear them all down and just disperse the families and neighborhoods and neighbors. and it's created chaos.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because now, I mean, in a you know, the one criminal element that existed there, you know, the gangs that had been, you know, Tower 1 was gang Y and Tower 2 was gang X.
Right.
You know, breaking those towers up and sending them so that they're next to each other in the same apartment building incited some violence. But more importantly, like the family connections, you know, that it was often, you know, a family with extended family living down the hallway, and they had that to rely on. And now, yeah, you know, aunts and uncles are in North Chicago, and another set of the family is in South Chicago, and they're completely divided. And so that chaos has really gone a little, it really had an impact there.
Okay, yeah, and I'm loving what you're saying, and I want to get into more depth, but I want to hear a little guitar. Just because I know people, I don't want this to become just a discussion show.
Sorry,
today.
Yeah,
no,
course.
No, we're going to go back to it. Just keep your thought. But you have your guitar in front of you. Let's play something that emulates or illustrates or evokes the feeling that you're talking about.
I've got the perfect thing. This is a song called City Song.
Okay.
And it's meant to just sort of emulate the hustle and bustle of a city street scene. Sorry, the humidity
is
playing with my guitar a little bit. But it's based on, in 2005, I was commissioned to write a piece by Weber State University, Victor's University. Victor Uzer is my cello partner. That's how Victor and I met. And this is a condensed version of one of those pieces that was originally for a larger ensemble.
Called City?
City Song.
City Song.
Yeah.
Felt the frenzy of the city. It was definitely there. You know, I had a lot of different points I want to get to. I don't want to forget any of them. I didn't write them down. So we're talking about Brad's piece that was an original written by Brad Richter, commissioned by Weber University in Utah, and Victor's school.
Yep.
And it definitely, it was kind of like the Gershwin the thing that I heard with the horns and all, you know. I didn't hear horns, but I heard all the hustling, the American Paris, thank you. All the hustle and bustle. It was there. It was great. Brad is also a wonderful composer, as you just heard. I mean, he's written many, many, many things. Brad is also, and I wanted to go to this, and then we'll get back to Chicago, because I'm not forgetting that. Monday was Columbus Day, and the city of Spokane changed Columbus Day from the term Columbus Day to Indigenous Day.
Indigenous people.
People's Day. Okay. And I was talking to Brad before we came on the air, and I know when I walk into a place and people will say, oh, you play classical guitar? I didn't know any black classical guitarists. Well, Brad is Native American. I don't remember, so you have to help me there. You're from Oklahoma. I remember that.
Yeah, okay. And like almost every Oklahoman, I've got some Cherokee in me. And I didn't grow up in the Cherokee culture, but my mother's side has quite a bit of Cherokee heritage. And I participated a little bit in the culture, but as a young adult, I really became fascinated with Native cultures in general. Mm-hmm. And not just Cherokee, but in a way, that's how we started the first lead guitar program.
I know that, I wanted to get you to that. Okay, so you started that program, and well, elaborate on what the program is. I don't think we did that today totally.
We said the most basic thing, but other important components of the program are that it's during the school day, every day in school for credit class.
Very important.
And that we're always co-teaching. So we send a master guitarist, like Leon, into a school to co-teach alongside a teacher of record who's usually a band, orchestra, or choir director who doesn't play guitar.
Really play guitar, right.
And so we're simultaneously teaching the class while teaching them how to play and teach guitar. And we work with the school for 2 or 3 years and then turn the reins over to that teacher that's then been trained and can take it from there.
And many of these started in Oklahoma, or were they, or with Arizona, if I remember correctly, right?
Arizona, yeah.
Okay. And they started in communities that had a large population of what group?
The first school we were in is Page High School, and that was, it's about 90 to 95% Navajo.
Okay. So a large Native American presence.
Right. And it's, I often refer to that as the Navajo Reservation. It's not actually on the reservation. It's right on there's a little peninsula of non-reservation there because of the dam mm-hmm. when it was built. Mm-hmm. And that's where the high school is, but it's surrounded by
Navajo reservation. And I'm glad you use the word reservation because the Native Americans, since we're talking about Columbus Day, obviously were dispersed and put on reservations. And let's go now back to Chicago and make the parallel. And you were talking about those four buildings being torn down.
And the
cultural connection and the family and the disbursement of families, disbursement of support networks for the family. Also today, just jumping a little bit, they were talking about Chinese families having to ship their children back to China because they were struggling to exist here until they got on their feet. So family is really critical, really, really important. And with the programs, the lead guitar program that Brad has put into the schools, it's helping because I've even noticed it does kind of tie in the family as well. I don't know if you've seen that. I know you have. Okay.
Yeah.
Elaborate on what I'm saying then. Help me.
Well, one of the things that comes to mind is I won't say the name, but a student that we had in common.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it's given him a better relationship with his father because
and was needed.
Yeah. So it's a student who was a really good guitarist. Leon
Very
and I
gifted.
Both worked with him, yeah. And then now he's got reason to collaborate with his father,
who is also a guitarist.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's changed that relationship. And where I see that the most is with Navajo kids from Page High School, because we've had that program running there for, this is the 17th year.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And so we have, we've had, you know, every sibling in a bunch of families go through the program.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to start to get, and this is going to make me feel really old, the children of people we had in the program coming through.
Doesn't take that long.
Yeah, I'm sure. In fact, we're there, and I just don't realize it. It's become, not because of us, but it's become a cultural staple on both the Navajo and Apache reservations. Yes. In Arizona, that playing not folk guitar but classical guitar and teaching each other pieces and
reading music. Let's get that element.
Yeah.
In there, because that's one of the things. When you asked me to get involved with the program, if it was just playing by rote, I would have told you no.
Right.
Because I think that's limiting, extremely limiting. And in Brad's program, he has book 1, 2, 3. Is there book 4 now?
Just the 3.
Just 3, okay. Book 1, 2, 3. And in those books, the kids learn first on the upper strings, the higher pitch strings, the names of the notes, what they look like, and then it's written on the board. The teachers, in many cases, don't know, and they have to learn, and they're sitting down practicing with students. But it's great. It's great, and it's ongoing multiple days, so it's not like an after-school program. It's a program that goes on during school. I initiated when I was involved at New Horizons an after-school meeting for the kids to come with the principal, the teacher at the school, every day to get more consecutive practice in, more than even just the class, so that they would make more progress.
Yeah. It's that every day that's critical, and a lot of times we'll do that. We'll start with an after-school program as we're talking the school into making it a during the school day program,
okay.
As a way to segue into that, mm-hmm. and to demonstrate that there's student interest. But you know, another thing you were asking me to describe lead guitar generally. Another thing we very frequently say is our goal is to teach school guitar with the same academic integrity that band and orchestra are taught. So kids read in standard notation, they play an ensemble, they follow a conductor, they get a grade.
Yes, and the ensemble thing is extremely, extremely, extremely important for young guitarists.
Yep.
That don't get to do it enough.
It is.
Okay, enough of my babbling and your babbling. I want to hear more guitars. It's the guitar hour. Sorry, Brad.
No, it's great.
Okay, so can you do something? Since we're talking about the schools in Arizona with two Native American large populations, not on the reservation but close to, can you play something that has that kind of a feeling to it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll apologize. I haven't played this song in a year.
I'm sure you'll play it great.
So it'll be a little bit of guesswork, but I think it's a really good fit, so I'll take a chance.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to put you on the spot. But
no, it's fine. That's the fun of it.
Okay.
So this is a song inspired by the Zuni people. They have an origin story that's really similar to the Orpheus and Eurydice legend of Greek fame and the Bible story of Sodom and Gomorrah, in that it's about a chief who loses his daughter to a rattlesnake bite. He goes to the land of the dead to get her back, and the chief of the land of the dead says, yes, but under one condition, and that is you cannot turn and look at her as you're walking back to the land of the living. And inevitably, he can't resist. In this telling of that story, you'll hear a drum beat that happens throughout this song. It's in 7-4. That represents the daughter's heartbeat, and then you'll hear some sounds that represent the rattlesnake.
And just to add quickly, Brad said it's in 7-4. Normally we have things 1, 2, 3, 4, then 1. This is in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1.
Yep.
Okay, so you get the idea of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and you'll hear that right at the beginning because it's drums alone for the first moment. Thank you.
Bravo. Thank you. That was very lovely. Very, very lovely. That was Brad Richter's composition. And that name again, Brad?
How Death Came.
How Death Came. Okay. Nice.
Something uplifting on a dark, rainy day.
Well, it's perfect. Look up. It's perfect. Okay. That was Brad Richter playing solo there.